Hey friends, I'm Charlie, and I would love to ask you a couple of questions. Who is your best dress friend? You got them in your head? Okay, good, because the next question is, who's the best singer in your group? I mean, there might be a little debate on that one, but here's the last question. Are you ready? Who has the best sense of humor? Most of y'all are probably pointing at yourself. See, it's always fun to talk about who's the best, and sometimes it can be debatable. We do this all the time when it comes to culture, don't we? We talk about things like who's the greatest basketball player of all time? What's the greatest movie trilogy of all time? Back to the Future? And then who's the greatest superhero of all time? These GOAT debates are always interesting because people pick different answers and then they back up their answers with different reasons. That's why debating can be so much fun. In this series, we're gonna talk about the people who Jesus said were the GOATs. Now, to be clear, he didn't talk about specific people. He talked about a specific thing that those people did. And when he told other people that they could do the same, it was his advice to being the greatest in any room that you're in. What was this thing that Jesus advised people to do? Well, it kind of comes down to one simple word, serving, showing up on behalf of other people. One of my biggest mentors and closest friends in my life is an older guy named Mr. Weeks. He was involved in my life for a few decades. He was an influence in my life when I was younger, immature, and making some questionable decisions. He was an influence in my life when I was a little older and more mature and working full-time as a pastor in a church. He had a huge impact on me. And you know how it all started? When I was in my 20s, he just showed up to an event that I was hosting and sat there in the back of the room. And when the event was over, he shook my hand afterwards and said what a good job I was doing. It was simple. Decades of influence began with him putting forth an effort and energy to show up on a random Friday afternoon. And so often, that's all it takes. He showed up, and that's serving. We can probably agree that serving others is important and something we should all care about, but so often we don't think about how we can do this for other people. It's not that we have a problem with it, it's just that we have a lot going on in our lives. For one, we're busy. I mean, it's hard enough for us to serve others because all the things that we have to do in our own lives. Like, how in the world would we have time to help someone else when we have our own stuff going on, our practices, our projects, plus there are people putting pressure on us to improve our grades, perform better, or work harder? If we happen to have free time, which there's not a lot of, it would go toward making our own circumstances better. And the other piece, it's a little inconvenient. It takes time and effort and energy to serve someone else. And not only are time, energy, and effort limited in supply, I'm not even sure that if we had more time, effort, and energy, that we would put that towards helping someone else. I mean, we'd show up for someone else, but if we're just being honest here, we just don't want to or feel like it. And the third reason is that we can fall into an all about me mindset. Now, we don't do it on purpose, and we're certainly not trying to be selfish, but sometimes we can get to a place where all we think about is me. We obsess about me. So the idea of serving someone else doesn't even cross our minds. This is not to make anyone feel guilty. We just have a lot going on in our own lives. But after a while, without realizing it, we can slowly drift to this place where we are the only things that we think about, and other people, they don't even make it to our concern, or they're not even on our radar, and we just become me people. What we're going to talk about for the next few minutes can make your life better, your friendships better, and the world a better place. It's a win-win. If you like more fulfillment, purpose, and happiness in life, then you showed up on the right day because this, it's for you. In the New Testament, which is the second half of the Bible, there are a bunch of letters written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was one of the most influential Christians this world has ever seen. He started a bunch of churches, and then he would later write letters to those churches to encourage him. And what's cool about the letters is that they really help us understand what it means to live out our faith in Jesus. In one of those letters, Paul wrote, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." Now let's look at the first part of that verse. Paul used phrases like selfish ambition and vain conceit. How would you describe someone who was selfish, vain, and conceited? Well, you'd probably say that they were all about themselves, wouldn't you? So Paul was describing someone who was me-focused. He wasn't saying that they're a bad person. In fact, he acknowledged that we all have a tendency to do these things from that mindset. That's why he used a replacement word, rather. Another way to say this is instead. Rather than or instead of doing that, let's do something else. And that's when he wrote things about humility, valuing others above yourself, and looking to the interest of others. He was talking about being others focused. We've all experienced both of these things with friends. Maybe you have a friend who's me focused. I mean, they're not a bad person. They're just kind of all about themselves. They don't ask or remember what's going on in your life. If you're going through a hard time, they just don't really make an effort to support you or to get involved. Now, on the other hand, maybe you have a friend who's others focused. Now, I'm not talking about someone who's a pushover or a people pleaser. I'm talking about the person who asks questions, who remembers what's happening in your life, and who goes out of their way to be an encouragement to you and to be there for you. Now, you may say that you and your friend group are kind of somewhere here in the middle, and that's normal. I totally get that. I'm just making the point that there's a difference, and you've probably experienced both sides of it. Think about this. You probably have friends whose parents are all about themselves. When you hang out at their house, they barely notice you. But then on the other hand, you may have a friend's parents who really genuinely care about you. They ask questions and they take an interest and they listen. They remember what's happening in your life. Let's talk about your coaches and your teachers. You know some who only seem to care about your performance and what you can do. And you know others who look past that and care about who you really are as a person. Get rid of the me-focused mentality. Instead, or rather, take a genuine interest in others. After a while, people will notice and appreciate the difference. You want to be the goat? Then you got to think about them, not just you. But this is more than just being kind and unselfish. Although those are two incredible things that absolutely follow the examples of Jesus, this one goes one step deeper. Check out the very next words that the Apostle Paul wrote. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We don't just serve because it's a good idea. We serve because Jesus served. We don't just serve because it sounds nice. We serve because it changes cultures and communities and ultimately the world. Friends, we don't just serve because it makes us feel good. We serve because we're created for it. There's something inside of us that comes alive when we follow the example of Jesus in this way. Have you ever seen one of those videos where a relative who's in the military surprises their family and like shows up at the home or a school or an event, and the family totally isn't expecting it? And then in one moment they turn and they see their relative and their face and their reaction is so priceless. Why do we get so emotional with that? I mean, we pretend like we're not tearing up, but it's too late. Obviously, we love seeing people cry and hug each other, and every family needs each other. But I think there's something else at play here, and that's what we're talking about today. When someone shows up for someone else, it's powerful. You and I, we were wired to serve others and make an impact on their lives. When you watch those videos, it's not just the emotional warm fuzzies that get you. It's something deep in your heart that's sparked. God created us to be relational, and God created us to serve others. That's why we find so much fulfillment in showing up and serving others. Now, one last thing. I want us to look at the words that Jesus himself said. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." That's why this is the GOAT mindset. We wind up following the example of the greatest person of all time, Jesus. And we even experience something great for ourselves. Now, all of this sounds lovely, but it won't actually have an impact unless we do it. And here's what I want you to remember. Do something small to serve others, even when you don't have to. Now, there are two ways that we can show up and do something small. The first one is to show up personally. Show up in someone else's life this week. Go to their game, stop by their work. And if you're beyond busy, send them an encouraging text or just even ask them how they're doing. Then follow up. Figure out some ways and times that you can be present in the lives of your people and in the moments that matter to them. I feel like I kind of need to pause here for a second and just say this. Do you know who does this for you each week? It's your small group leader. Y'all, they don't get paid, they don't get recognition or credit. They spend countless hours away from their family because they care about you. They know that they were wired for something greater than just themselves, and because of that, they show up for you. I think we take for granted what they do, and y'all, it's a pretty big deal. Show up locally. Sign up to serve somewhere. Get involved in something. Be a mentor to a young kid or help out at church. Sometimes our showing up isn't about being there physically. It's about providing something that other people can't provide for themselves. It's not about recognition or credit. This is about doing for others what Jesus did for us. It's about an others-focused mentality. Sometimes a small step can make a really big difference. You were wired for serving and showing up for others. It's in you. What if you could bring to life the very thing you were searching for in so many other areas? It's right there in you. As you show up personally and locally, you discover more about yourself. Having an others-focused life is the greatest life imaginable. It's the very thing that Jesus modeled for you. And how does it start? Well, it starts by you showing up, by doing something small to serve someone, even if you don't have to. So when you head to small group, I want you to think about sharing the answer to this question. What's one small thing you can do to serve others?